Welcome to In Their Words, brought to you by UPMC in Central PA and the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation. Today, we hear from Anita Grove, a social worker at UPMC Hillman Cancer Center in York. Following her stage 3 breast cancer diagnosis in 2009, Anita underwent chemotherapy, radiation, and reconstruction, but her healing journey didn't end there. In our conversation, Anita shares her powerful experience with post-mastectomy tattooing, an often overlooked procedure that helped her feel whole again after reconstruction. She discusses how this final step in her physical recovery profoundly impacted her emotional healing as well, restoring not just her appearance, but her sense of self. Today, Anita channels these deeply personal experiences into supporting other cancer patients, growing a support group from just a few members to dozens of participants monthly. Through her story, we discover how the complete journey through cancer recovery, including important finishing touches like reconstructive tattooing, can transform both the individual and the many lives they touch afterward.
Yeah, I'm Anita Grove, and I presently work as a social worker at UPMC Hillman Cancer Center in York, the memorial building. And I have a very grounded past in a cancer history. I have a lot of experience because I had my own cancer journey starting in 2009, when I was diagnosed with stage 3 left-sided breast cancer, and I needed to be treated with chemotherapy first to shrink the tumor, and then I was able to have radiation, and then I had reconstruction. So after that, I decided that I would certainly want to be involved in other people's breast cancer journeys because I thought I could be a good guide and support. And basically, I came by the information honestly, so I could actually share my own personal journey with them. And then I luckily got the job at UPMC Hillman Cancer Center, and I was able to begin a breast cancer support group there. And at first, we only had 2 or 3 people, and now we're sometimes getting 40 chairs ready for our meeting because sometimes up to 30 or 35 people come in to our meeting. So my journey led me to basically meeting a lot of patients that are undergoing the same journey that I went through, and I can encourage them and bring them through struggles such as, oh my goodness, what does this test feel like? Or what does this MRI feel like for the first time? Or is anger normal? Is anger a normal feeling that you go through because you've gotten diagnosed with this? And I'm sad and I just don't know how to change from being sad to being myself again. And all those things, that's basically what I work with them on with that journey. And one of the other most exciting things is introducing them to other survivors and other people along the journey. So at support group, someone will raise their hand and share, you know, that they're undergoing a certain situation. And across the room is a person just holding their heart saying, oh my gosh, I'm doing the exact same thing. Can we talk afterwards? I'm very proud of the fact that we always build it up nicely to stay on the theme and stay on track. And then we always have a built-in half hour afterwards so patients can connect. So that's where I've gone from being a breast cancer patient to being what I think is kind of a connector of other patients so that they find support and a kind place to come at least once a month to grow that. Now, our outreach is growing to a yoga, a cheer yoga group, and also a little Zoom check-in group with Ashley, our nurse navigator, once a month. So it's really growing, and that's really something I'm very proud of. And then there's me. As far as when I was diagnosed, immediately they thought, you know, genetic testing. And when they looked into things, well, not only was I the only girl in the family between my 2 brothers, but I was also the only female born in the family for a lot of time. So there was really nobody to look back for, except when we look back, we could only look back at grandma at age 61 had passed away from breast cancer. I did have an incredibly caring family through my journey, and my mother at, you know, an older age came to help me with my drains and cared very much for me to certainly survive this. And that's what happened. And I do believe the love and caring my family gave me from the Philadelphia area, not to even mention my incredibly supportive husband who took me to all my tests, all my surgery. He pointed out many, many times that my surgery did not mean anything, you know, to him as far as us and our relationship and whatnot, which I was very scared about. Women get very nervous and afraid that their personal appearance will change and then maybe their husband won't look at them the same. But that was never a situation I had to worry about. And I was very glad about that. So an incredibly great family. And then I knew from having a great family that I could reach out to others. I feel the message. Once you grow up in a concerned and loving family, you know that other people help you through things. So I was able to connect with a support group early on in my journey. And I was able to get phone calls from people that knew if I was having a down day, they'd say, come on, we're going out to lunch, or come on, let's just do this. Throw on that scarf on your head and let's roll. And they were able to keep me lifted in spirit and things like that. So I think having a lot of support around, when you go to a support group, you learn that people do care, that you're not alone, and that people enjoy reaching out and helping. They enjoy seeing you and reaching out and helping. And that's the vibe I got. So I certainly wanted to build that for the people going through things that maybe didn't have a good family or don't have a lot of support. They know once a month, and more often actually, they can reach out for a little extra support and knowing that we're here. And we can hear those problems that pop up. I don't know what to expect during this test, or I'm very, very scared because I don't know how I present this to my children. That was another thing for me. I had to present it to, my daughter was going into high school and my son was leaving for college. And I had to sit them down and tell them that I was going to be on a long journey too, of a lot of change. And that was one of the hardest things, to do that presentation really well. And I think maybe when I look back, I probably get about a C+ on my presentation, because I could have probably done it a little better and had them maybe worry a little bit less, because here I am 15 years later. And I was so scared at the time that I thought maybe things weren't going to go as well. But here I am 15 years later, and I've enjoyed many things, you know, many of their successes and graduations and things like that. So I'm happy about that. But a great family is a super wonderful treasure.
After reconstruction, many breast cancer survivors face a final step that's rarely discussed, but deeply significant. Anita candidly shares what happens during this procedure, describing the artistic and medical aspects involved in creating realistic tattoos. She explains how this specialized tattooing differs from traditional body art, the preparation involved, and what patients can expect during and after the procedure. Listen as Anita reveals how this final step in her physical transformation helped bridge the gap between recovery and truly feeling restored.
I would love to tell you, or make sure you know, that the last thing on my mind, because I had a complicated reconstruction during my process, I developed some complications during that part of it, that the polishing, the final polish, or the, as they call it, the jewelry, or the final accessories, are nipples. And I had no nipples for 15 years because I decided that I had had enough of needles and people looking and people trying to fix it. And I had, like I said, a complicated reconstruction. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to draw the line at this time. It was probably 2011 by the time I was just kind of over it, if you will. And I said, I'm drawing the line and I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go that far to finish. And one time said, if I ever wrote a book or had a podcast or had some kind of expose where I told my story, I would title it Nipples Optional. Nipples Optional. Because I thought, I just don't really feel this is a necessary step. So I was really convinced for many, many years that this was not something of importance, or it just felt like an accessory that I did not need. So for 15 years, you know, I passed a mirror after a shower, or I looked at myself getting dressed, and I just simply didn't miss that. And I just became firmly grounded there. Until fairly recently, I would say maybe about 2 months ago, I really got to know Lydia Flinner well. And I was also shown some of her artwork, because she's quite the artist. She has quite the eye for drawing. She uses, I believe it's cells, and she captures beautiful detail doing the human face, a beautiful sketch of her mom. There's a beautiful sketch of her, just a woman's face. And the detail is so incredible. And she came through as an artist to me first. And then, of course, I had an appointment with her for survivorship. And she's truly a fantastic nurse. And she asked just the right questions. And somehow, something clicked. And I thought, with this fantastic combination of this gifted artist and this fantastic nurse. And then Lydia brought it up. And she said, what about if I would be your nipple tattoo artist, Anita? And I thought, oh, my. And it almost like runs a chill, you know, down my spine when I say it now, because it was so far from what I considered essential or necessary. But just the way she said it, I thought, oh, my goodness, maybe this is something I really want to consider. So in, I would say in times of quiet, you know, it wasn't like I just told all my friends or that I wanted a new dress or a new piece of jewelry. I kept it to myself, but I really took some deep time to think. And quite frankly, I thought, you know, I guess when I look in the mirror, I really do miss that part of me that was so, you know, natural, God-given, but I had kind of missed. So when I was really honest with myself, yes, I thought, yes, I do miss that. So I talked to Lydia a few more times, and knowing that I was reserved about it, she did just a time. She took me into her studio and she showed me everything. Of course, her artwork is in there hanging, so you see that too. And then she did a little painting for me using like tattoo ink and just the Q-tip. And she did a little painting to kind of give me what I would call like a simulation for what would be the future. And when I saw that, it really did, once again, that little chill was like, this is something I should do. It will be a completion. Not that I ever thought I needed that, but when you see it in real life on your body and you see how it changes, and I don't like to say the word normal, but it just makes you look complete because you look in the mirror and you say, oh my, they're back. Because for 15 years they were gone. So the date came and Lydia had my appointment all set to go. So learning more about Lydia, she is a nurse practitioner for Dr. Mudge. So if you're routinely going to Dr. Mudge, you have Dr. Mudge, you know, throughout your whole journey. And then when your appointments get more spread apart, like mine, after being a 15-year survivor, Lydia is your survivorship nurse. She is a nurse practitioner. So she continues to speak with patients about survivorship, which really survivorship is that jump from being a patient that is continuing on treatment to a patient that maybe is no longer doing treatment, but still needs that follow-up. Lydia's very thorough. And some of the things she talks about is how you're feeling on like maybe your hormone therapy that often breast cancer survivors are on, like I was on for 13 years. And also, how are you feeling with your relationships and how are you feeling with your body image? And those are deep questions that I think are really belong in what is that survivorship category where you're off and running. You're not seeing your doctor every month or you're not sitting in a chemo chair anymore. So you do feel a little bit out there, you know, like, who's my helper now? Well, that's that time where you have your survivorship nurse practitioner who is Lydia. And at that time, it might come out that an individual has had a left breast removed, let's say, and had reconstruction, and her right breast is there and it's still intact with her original nipple. Well, Lydia is going to propose during that survivorship meeting that she can do a tattooed areola nipple artwork there to match her original. And that's a really big moment for a person to hear that, you know, they can be restored to what looks like by hand of an artist, the hand of a tattoo artist, what looks like her original. And maybe have that moment when she says, they're back. They're both back. They came back. Their nipples came back. And that's what the idea of Lydia and her survivorship a detail, if you will, or survivorship nursing calling. Well, I believe she's called to do that, to support that individual through that period of time where who's providing the medicine? Oh, nobody now. So between Dr. Mudge visits and alternating Lydia visits, you really do feel very supported. And she's quite degreed. She's a nurse practitioner, so she has those, I think it's CRNP after her name. I would say a more cosmetic tattoo concept was not totally strange to me, but I never connected it with nipples being cosmetic. Never did I think until I met Lydia that that might be considered a cosmetic tattoo that I should be interested in or, you know, look into. So I did have a little experience with that. Yes. But I was put at ease completely. Lydia asked me what my favorite jam was, and she hit the tunes. I think I chose current rock or something, and boy, did she let it out. So I would say, Lydia, do you think that's too loud? No, I do not. We need to get into the groove here. So she's really lots of positivity and fun, makes you laugh, very relaxed. If that's what you like, if you like classical music, I'm sure she would play that too. But she had us all done up with whatever kind of mentality I was in, which I was clearly in a joyful mentality that day. Anyway, so there we were, and she gets the ink ready that is what she is, as with her artist eye, which I let her to 100%. She lined up little bubbles of ink on everything. It's extremely sanitary, by the way. She's gloved. She's masked. And the ink is there to seep. And as she kept pointing out, this is medical grade tattoo ink. Everything was highly sanitary. I want to emphasize that completely. And then I laid back, and she even has a gown on. And she started to make kind of what I call an outline. And she started with my left side. Now, my left side is radiated because I had cancer there. So my left side skin is different than my right side skin, where I had the difficult reconstruction, and I have my natural skin there, but it's a graft. It's a skin graft in a little form of a circle where she would be putting the nipple. So anyway, starting with the left side, radiated skin, what I felt was kind of maybe tiny pinches, not even enough to flutter my eyes. She kept saying, if you feel any pain, tell me. If you feel any pain, I said, Lydia, by the time the little buzz feeling is happening, it's over. So I'm not going to comment that it's hurting, because it was not. Slight little pinchy feeling. And then there was times where I didn't feel anything at all. But her machine, her little device where she's working with, has a little sound to it. So I knew something was happening, but I didn't feel a thing. And then there was that little feeling like, oh, there it is. I know she's doing something there. But all the while, the music was going, and we were chatting about nothing to do with nipples. we were having a fun time. It was very easy going. So she finished up, and she put on a plastic, very sanitary, I would call it like what we would almost think of saran wrap, went tight to my whole breast, my whole entire breast, both sides. And that was not to come off for 2 days, but if it came off during a shower, that's fine. So it was just kind of keeping it to me. It kept it very sanitary and clean, and it felt as if, you know, I wouldn't touch it or bring any germs there because I wanted to keep it perfect. I think the next step was walking past the mirror and seeing that I look a lot different and a lot better. And the colors that she chose, and then I believe it's called, well, they call it like the illusion of protrusion, where the nipple actually pops out. Lydia did some artistic shadowing so that if you stand even a foot away, like I would be in a mirror if I'm standing looking at myself in a mirror, even a foot away, it looks like there's protrusion there. So it's trick of the eye. I would say that if I was talking to somebody who was in doubt or in some kind of hesitancy toward getting this done, I would tell them to give themselves time and to look at themselves in the mirror and say to themselves, is this something I truly miss? And for the longest time, out of layered emotion, you know, anger, frustration with myself that I even got breast cancer in the first place, stress because I had to go through what I went through, chemotherapy, loss of my appearance, and then having to kind of get myself back into loving myself again. Once all that fits back in together for that person, and they might say to themselves, you know what, I have my foot on the gas here, and I don't have any problem with this. I really want to look like myself again. And then there might be that other person that says, I want to wait a while until I sort all that out. So I was clearly that person. I wanted to wait a while till I sorted all that out. And then I say, stay tuned and think to yourself and be quiet in yourself and say to yourself, is this something that I just want to maybe consider and open the door to? And then once you say yes, you don't have to worry about your first appointment being, okay, here we go. We're ready for the races. We're going to put this tattoo. And Lydia can do a visit where she just talks to you about it and shows maybe some of her artwork to you and brings it on gently and quietly and just like keeps it just between you and her that you're in this transitional period where you just don't know. And then if you want her to, she probably would do one of those little paintings for you with the Q-tip. And I think that's where I saw, wow, what was I waiting 15 years for? I feel like it did bring to what I denied for a long time. It brought it to kind of completion or a finished project. It's not perfect. I do have scarring from my journey. But when you look at me straight on now, I'm more symmetrical, more complete, natural. And the scarring, instead of being center stage, you know, you have to almost really look for it. So it changed the Trump Loy, changed the focus from being kind of scarred from the left to the right. Then there's this other thing. It took it right to looking where you should look when you look at someone's breasts. When I look at my own breasts, I know when I look at straight on, I see the nipples first instead of the scars first. So just like putting cancer into its place, if you will, or putting it into its place in your life, it doesn't have to be always in your face anymore. It can be secondary to what is your new self, your new body, and closer to what you had. And like I said, the minute I first looked at them, after Lydia was done, I said, they're back. And it made me feel good. I'd just like to emphasize having that survivorship meeting visit with Lydia is a great thing to do. It's great for just to bring up all the possibilities and all the loose ends that may be possibly left after such a humongous change of your life and such a humongous journey's end, to talk to Lydia about all the things and then to pay attention overall to how you feel as a person and how that journey affected you and how you're going to move on in a positive way. And if there's any snags on that, that can be brought up during survivorship. And also our support group, we bring up that quite a bit. Staying connected is very important. And then there it is. It's on your agenda to possibly face the fact that you could, I should say, address the fact that you could be back to what is physically appearance-wise to a point where you look just like you looked before. And the scars take the second place to the artistry of what the human body is more or less supposed to have, and that is our nipples. And when they're back, the scars take that second place, as opposed to being the only thing you see. They aren't the only thing you see anymore. The only thing you see is the artistry, the work that Lydia did to bring it back to what looks like. I don't like the word normal, but I like the word, I guess we should just say, they're back to the way they were, as close as possible by the human hand, back to the way they were.
Thank you for joining us for this powerful conversation with Anita Grove. Her journey from cancer patient to caregiver illustrates how even the most challenging experiences can lead to profound purpose. The post-mastectomy tattooing she described represents more than a medical procedure. It's a symbol of completion, transformation, and reclaiming one's body after cancer. If you found value in Anita's story, please take a moment to rate and review In Their Words on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us continue to bring these important healthcare journeys to light and reaches others who may benefit from hearing them. If you'd like more information about cancer support services, including post-mastectomy care options, please visit upmc.com/centralPA. And join us next time as we continue to bring you the personal stories behind exceptional care.